All right, Shabbos, say good morning. Let's begin. A lot to do today. Today's daf is Mem Dalet 44. We are picking up Emir Hashem on 43b, Mem Gimel Amud Beis, five lines up from the bottom, last two words on the line. Our shir this morning is dedicated by Moshe Wordeshine, celebrating Devorah, his wife, my inspiring and courageous wife, and our completion of Mishnayos Seder Zuran. Beautiful. Mazel tov on the incredible accomplishment, and Emir Tzikvus Baruch Hu should bless you with Arichos Yamim Vishanim together. Admeh Ve'asim Shanim Tovos. Shkoyach. Shkoyach. All right, Tabosai, let's begin. So, Amar Mar Breid Ravino. So, if you remember again, we ended off yesterday with really an incredible story. If you remember, what was the story? So, the story was an ox that was brought by the sons of Rav Okva, right, where the Shechita was begun in the Turbats. Remember, again, so we're calling the Turbats HaVeshet, is like the hallway of the Veshet, the upper part of the esophagus. So it was begun in the Turbats, and it was finished in the Veshet itself, right? So in other words, it was like a diagonal Shechita. So diagonal Shechita by itself is not a problem. We've seen that before. The problem is where this Shechita started. It started really too high up on the veshet, too high up on the esophagus. So what happened? They brought the animal before Rava, and Rava said it's aser. Rava said it's treif, right? And he said why? Because the animal's treif based on the chumras of chumras of Rav and chumras of Shmuel. They subsequently went ahead and brought this, right? They brought this before Rabbi Abba, and Rabbi Abba said no, the animal is kosher. Rabbi Abba disagreed with Pesach of Rava, and he said that the animal is kosher. And he said, Rava, you owe the sons of Rav Okva money for causing them to lose out on an animal. That's the story. Says the Gemara, Amar Marbrei Dravina, Mosi Natiyav Taklapei Sanei De Rava, I can go ahead and bring a raya against the enemies of Rava. And I will say enemies of Rava in this case actually means Rava. He didn't want to say directly I could refute the position of Rava. So he said I could refute the position of the enemies of Rava. How can I refute Rava? The Olaps, because we'll listen to this. Remember, what did Rava do? When the sons of Rav Okva brought this animal before Rava, so Rava went ahead and essentially applied to this animal the chumras of Rav and Shmuel. So we'll say now comes along Mar Brei Dravina and says, you're not allowed to do that. How do we know that? The Olam Hilchus HaKedivrei Beis Hillel. We'll say the Halacha normally follows Beis Hillel. Varo Tzalasos Kedivrei Beis Shammai Osa. And ultimately, but if one wants to paskin like Beis Shammai, you can pass like Beis Shammai. Kedivrei Beis Hillel, Osa. Want to pass like Beis Hillel, you can pass like Beis Hillel. Mikuli Beis Shammai, Mikuli Beis Hillel. Bosei, if you want to go ahead and accept the kulas of Beis Hillel and the kulas of Beis Shammai, sounds very familiar. Many like to accept that approach. Right? Kulas of Beis Shammai, kulas of Beis Hillel. What's the halacha? Rasha. Such a person is a Rasha. Top of Mendalit, strong words. Mechomre Beis Shammai, Mechomre Beis Hillel. We'll say, if you take the Chumras of Beis Shammai and the Chumras of Beis Hillel, Alav HaKasuv Omer, Haksil B'choshech Holech. So Chazal calls such a person like the fool who walks in the dark. So we'll say, interesting. You can't accept the Kulos of Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel, you call the Rasha. And if you accept the Chumras of Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel, you call the fool. Right? Rather, Ela, Ike Beis Shammai, Mekulei Nechum Rehen. We'll say, but rather, what's the halacha? Either paskin like Beis Hillel with their chumras and their kulos, or paskin like Beis Shammai with their kulos and with their chumras. But says the Gemara, I don't understand. Hagufa kasha. What you just said is an inherent contradiction. How so? Amritli olam kedivrei Beis Hillel. V'hadir tani v'harotza lasos kedivrei Beis Shammai yasa. So we'll say, before we apply this ultimately again back to our Gemara, what the Gemara is saying over here is, the Braisa you just quoted is an inherent contradiction. Why? Because we'll say, what does the Braisa say? The halacha follows Beis Hillel, right? The olam hilchus kedivrei Beis Hillel. And then what does it say after that? But if you want to pass like Beis Shammai, you can pass like Beis Shammai. You want to pass like Beis Hillel, you can pass like Beis Hillel. So I don't understand. If the halacha is like Beis Hillel, then you have to pass like Beis Hillel. What do you mean the halacha is like Beis Hillel? But if you want, you can pass like Shammai also. To which the Gemara says, Lokasha, kan kodem baskol, kan la'achar baskol. Oh, so we'll say, if you look at Rashi, baskol, the parakama de Erevin, yotzus of baskol, va'omra halacha ke Beis Hillel. So we'll say, going back to our Erevin days, right? A baskol came out, and the baskol said that the halacha follows Beis Hillel. So we'll say, so the Bryce is reflecting two different states. When we said the Olam Hilchasa Kibes Hillel, ultimately, again, what was that referring to? That was referring to post-Bas Kol, right? When did it say you could do like Beis Shammai or like Beis Hillel? That was before the Bas Kol. The other possibility is Afla Achar Bas Kol. Maybe I will say the whole thing is, this whole Bryce is talking about after the Bas Kol. But Rabbi Yoshua, he da'amar in mashkichin be-Bas Kol. And Rabbi, it's reflexive of Rabbi Yoshua. Rabbi Yoshua holds that what I will say, we do not pay attention to Bas Kols, right? Bas Kols are nice, they're interesting, they're beautiful, they're wonderful. But at the end of the day, we don't pay attention to Bas Kols. So the Gemara says, ay, mikom makom kasha. Rabbi will say, ultimately, again, we still have a problem. So what's our problem? So we'll say our problem is, remember, the sons of Rav Ukva brought the ox ultimately again to Rava. What did Rava do? How did Rava paskin on the ox? He applied the chumras and the kulas. The chumras and the kulas. We'll say now what we're saying is, I don't understand, Rav, how did you paskin that way? How did you apply the chumras and the, how did you, Rav said I'm going to apply the chumras and kulas of Rav and Shmuel. So it says the Gemara, we're just learning over here that what? That halacha l'maisa, you can't apply chumras and kulas of two different opinions to one situation. That's ultimately going to say that that's foolishness. So how is Rav doing this? So to which the Gemara says, Amar Rav Tavos. So Rav Tavos answered, Kula kirav avda. And the Altair will say, you're right. Rava was not applying the chumras of Rav and Shmuel. Rather, again, Rava was in fact totally subscribing to the Shita of Rav. Because Rami Bar Yecheskel came along, he said, Amar, lo tasisu luhu lahani klali, dikal Yehuda achi mishmei dirav. So we'll say when, one time when Rami Bar Yecheskel came along, he said, do not pay any attention to the principles espoused by my brother Yehuda in the name of Rav. Why? Hachi Amar Rav, this is what Rav said. Veshet, Nosnu bo chachamim shir. Ultimately, again, I will say when it comes to the Veshet, when it comes to the esophagus, the chachamim have given a shir. We'll say, what does that mean? Have given a shir? That the chachamim have stated ultimately, again, how much of the Veshet is appropriate for shchita. To which the Gemara says, Michlal, the turbats have Veshet lav makom shchita. Ultimately, I will say, what we can infer from this is that according to Rav, the turbats is what we call the hallway of the esophagus, which is the upper part of the esophagus, is not the proper spot for shechita, and yet the ka'amar b'masha, and therefore I will say the halacha is that if you go ahead and you puncture any small amount there, ultimately that is going to render the shechita invalid. Therefore I will say when the sons of Mar Ukva went ahead and brought the animal before Rava, And the way this animal was shechted was it started in the turbats and it went down. So Rava paskins like Rav that such a shechita is possible. The Gemara ascribed his logic ultimately again to the chumras of Rav and Shmuel, but in reality that's not what Rav was doing. That's not what Rava was doing. Rava was just paskining like Rav the whole way through that any shechita in the turbats ultimately again will be possible. Good. The Gemara now goes weiter. Lamava ad kamas. We'll say now we're going to try to map out the veshet, the esophagus, a little bit. So lamava ad kamas. We'll say how far up on the esophagus. Remember again, like in the image of a cow. So if you could imagine again, the esophagus pretty much goes like almost into the cheekbone area. So how far up on the esophagus are you permitted to shecht? Right? When you say how far up, you mean how close to the top of the esophagus. Top is being defined as the part that is closest to the head. How far up on the esophagus are you permitted to go and do shechita? So the Gemara says, Rav Nachman, ad kedei tefisas yad. It's actually very interesting. Ad kedei tefisas yad, I will say, means until the area that you're able to grab. So Rashi says, ad kedei tefisas yad, tzarech laniach litzad harosh, kishalosh etzbaos va'arba loshon. We're supposed to listen to this. So apparently, if you were to put your, you could shecht a hand's breadth away from the top of the esophagus. So literally again, if you were to wrap your hand around the esophagus, that's the amount that has to remain uncut. Any amount below that is you're permitted to go out and begin the shechita there. Lemata ad kama. We'll say, what about, this is actually another interesting thing, what about how low on the esophagus can you cut? How far down on the esophagus? We'll say, remember again, the esophagus leads right into the stomach. So ultimately, again, how far down on the esophagus can you shecht? To which the Gemara says, Am Rav Nachman, Am Rav Baravua, Ad Kedei Shiyashir. Or Yasir, I should say. Until it becomes hairy. Now what does that mean? I'll say, look at Rashi, Ad Makom Shiyashir, Shiyesh Sham Seyar, Shegorin Besakin Mikeras HaPenimi. So we'll say, now what's interesting about this is as follows. That halacha lemaisa, so as he said, the esophagus goes into the stomach. In the part of the stomach that's closest to the esophagus, there are hair-like follicles on the inside of that stomach area. The Gemara is calling that sear, calling it hair. So what the Gemara seems to be saying over here is that halacha lemaisa, you could do shechita essentially all the way down until the esophagus until it hits the stomach. Only once it gets to the stomach and there's quote-unquote hair, then you cannot go ahead and shecht it there anymore. So the Gemara says, Imi, is that true? Vam Ravina, Amar Gniva Mishmei Derav, Tefach Beveshet Samuch Lekeres, Zeo Keres Hapanimi. Here I will say we learn the name of Rav that what? That the Tefach of the Veshet, that is closest to the Keres, so I will say Keres means stomach, that's called the inner pouch. That's called the Keres HaPenimi. So we'll say what this sounds like is as follows. That actually, the last tefach of what we would call the esophagus itself is actually not called esophagus. That's actually already called stomach. Or specifically, again, inner pouch. Now we'll say, now if it's called inner pouch, then what does that mean? What does that mean? You can't check this. So we now have a contradiction. Because we just said before, it appears, that halacha lamaisa, you can check, Gemara first said you can check on the veshet, you can check on the esophagus, pretty much all the way until its point of connection with the stomach. Now what we're saying is actually the last tefach of the veshet is actually not called esophagus, but it's called keres hapinimi, it's called inner pouch. If it's called inner pouch, it's not called the veshet, then you can't check there. So which one is it? So which the Gemara says, Amayki kashachet, bekeres kashachet. If that's the case, then we can't allow you to shecht all the way till the end of the veshet, because then effectively you're not shechting the esophagus, you're shechting the stomach. To which the Gemara says, no. Ema, tefach bekeres, samoch leveshet, zeu keres hapanimi. To which the Gemara says, no, read that a little bit differently. Serabo said that in the stomach itself, the tefach of the stomach closest to the esophagus has a different identity. It's a different part of the stomach called the keres hapanimi. Remember, we'll say there's the keres, which literally means a pouch, and the keres hapanimi, which is a separate part of the stomach called the inner pouch. What the Gemara now is suggesting is as follows. The part of the tefach of the stomach, which is closest to the esophagus, has the status of what's called the keres hapanimi, the inner pouch. So we'll say, see, using this logic, what the halacha is, you can shecht on the veshet, you can shecht on the esophagus all the way to its point of connection to the stomach. Just understand, that point of connection between the esophagus and the stomach, that's not called the keres proper, but rather it's called the keres hapanimi, the inner pouch. The other possibility is, ki kamarav bitura, the mashiyotzer. So the other possibility is, when Rav said his statement, the statement was said by an ox, which I will say has excessive hair by the stomach, which apparently, again, kind of goes into the last part of the esophagus as well. Okay. Amar Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel. Turbats HaVeshet Shenital Kulo Milechi. Well, so listen to this interesting case. What happens if... So first of all, again, so we'll say, so that last piece, when does Rav say that the tefach of the veshet is called the keres? That's only ultimately, again, betura with an ox, where again the hair extends from the stomach onto the veshet itself. Fine. Next. Turbats HaVeshet Shenital Kulo Milechi Kasher. We'll say, so that's an interesting case. So let's say, turbats, remember again, we've already discussed as well. What's the turbats? What we call the hallway of the esophagus, which is the upper part of the esophagus. Okay? So now watch this. So it says Shmuel, or Nachman says the name of Shmuel, Turbats HaVeshet Shenital Kulo Milechi. If the turbats, we'll say, the hallway of the esophagus was totally detached from the jawbone. So remember again, it extends, it was totally detached from the jawbone. Kosher. Ultimately, again, the animal is still kosher. We'll say, so Rashi, so fine. So, Shita Kol Milechi Kosher. V'tana Tuna. We'll see another price that supports this. Nital Lechi HaTachton Kosher. Ultimately, again, if the bottom jaw, the bottom part of the jaw was removed, ultimately, again, the animal is still kosher. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. Maskif the Rapapa, Vaha Ika Ikor Simanim. Then I will say, now, what are you talking about? if you have a case, Rabbi Yossi, where the Torbat Haveshet is removed from the jawbone, isn't that a case ultimately of Ikor Simanim? Rabbi Yossi, what's Ikor Simanim? Dislodging or removal of the Simanim. That's one of the trefas. Right? Rabbi Yossi, if you have an animal that the Simanim were ultimately again removed from the animal, that in and of itself is a trefa. So what does it mean over here when you tell me that the simanim are removed from the jawbone, or the lower jawbone was removed, that somehow the animal is still kosher? To which the Gemara says, Ulrav Papa, kashya masnisin. And I will say, according to Rav Papa, ultimately, again, the Mishnah is problematic, because what does the Mishnah say? Nita lechi atachton kosher. But the Mishnah we just quoted said that if the bottom jawbone was removed, then halacha l'maisa, again, what? The animal is still kosher. So what's going on over here? Bishlam asis and Rav Papa lo kasha. So we'll say the Mishnah doesn't pose such a problem to according to Rav Papa. Why? Ha di'i akar ikure, ha di'igum agume me'iloi me'ilui simanim. So we'll say. So what's going on over here? Look at Rashi. Ha da'a ikar iakri ikar simanim kishenekar aveshet min alechem min abasar. Just read one more Rashi, then I'll explain. Ha di'igum igume me'ilui simanim. Shenigmam halechi min habasar shemutal al hasimanim bein lechi vasimin delav ikor hu shasimanim meurin bebasar. As well, listen to this. When does an animal become a trefa if the simanim ultimately are removed? That's when the simanim are removed from the jawbone. Rabbi said, let's say you have a case where the jawbone itself is dislocated and removed, but the simanim are still attached to the jawbone. So the jawbone is dislocated out of place. So it's been dislodged. Now, as a result of the dislodging of the jawbone, the simanim are also dislodged, but they're still attached to the jawbone. That does not render the animal simanim. So it's actually very interesting. So what it's saying over here is, when the simanim themselves are detached from the jawbone, that halacha l'maisa renders the animal a trefa. When the jawbone in its entirety is detached, but ultimately what, the simanim are still attached to the jawbone, they're still rooted in the jawbone, then halacha l'maisa, that's not a trefa. Very interesting. Elo l'shmuel kasha, but we'll say according to Shmuel, this is still going to pose a problem. So the Gemara says, lo te makulo, don't say that ultimately again, the entire tarbutz was detached from the lechi, from the jawbone. Ela ima rubo, rather say it's talking about a case where what? Where the majority was detached. Ay, v'ha, omer rabba bar bar chana, omer Shmuel, simanim shenidaldulu beruban trefa. But also, even if that's the case, we said that simanim are, that are detached in the majority are still problematic. So we'll say everything again. So he gives a similar answer over here. Look at Rashi, ikfel iklufei, shekalaf me'al abasar, ikfel kimova niklaf. So the ifrok ifruke, kedavar ne'aka v'kach. So we'll say one case is where ultimately, again, the simanim are peeled away, and one case is where the simanim are removed ultimately by force. If they're removed by force, we'll say that is when it becomes a trefa. If it's quote-unquote peeled away, so I guess removed in a more gentler fashion, it does not become a trefa. Okay. So we'll say we go back there. So again, we're beginning to see, so first of all, this is a fascinating discussion in and of itself. Because the Gemara seems to understand over here that although we discussed that any detachment of the simanim ultimately, again, is going to be problematic, we begin to see that's not necessarily true. Halacha l'maisa, even if the simanim are moved, but they're still anchored in the jawbone, the animal does not become a trefa. Furthermore, again, I will say we see that what? That halacha l'maisa, shchita in the tarbutz, in the hallway of the esophagus, ultimately, again, can be potentially problematic. Although, again, it appears that the Gemara itself seems to indicate that halacha l'maisa, there are those who say that such a shchita will ultimately be good. Good. Gemara goes weiter. Next, psuka sagar geres. So, remember, again, the Mishnah said one of the cases of trefas is what? If the gargeres, which is the trachea, is cut. Right? If the trachea is cut, then halacha l'maisa, the animal is a trefa. Tana kama psuka sagargeres. I will say how much of the trachea has to be cut. Now remember again, this means cut not with shchita. This means it's just cut from something else. So having a cut trachea passels the shchita. How much of the trachea has to be cut? Beruba, the majority of it. So we'll say if the majority of the trachea is cut, then ultimately what? Halacha l'maisi, the animal is a treifa. V'kama rubar, but say how much ultimately again is the rove of the treikia? What we're really asking over here is how are you measuring this particular rove? Rav Amar, Rav says, on the base, rove uviya. Rav says the majority of its thickness. Va'amrile rove chalala. So we'll say, now watch this. If you look at Rashi, Rashi says rove uviya. If you go three lines down in Rashi after the period, rove uviya kilomar ki misharin ruba berove uviya misharin va'ove hakana haynu mina or ulitzavah. So we'll say rove uviya means that halacha lemaisa, we measure the thickness, we measure the majority of the kana, including the thickness of the walls. Including the thickness of the walls. Right? So I'll say, so halacha l'maaseh, when we look at the rove, so when we say the rove of the trachea, ultimately, again, has to be cut, that includes the thickness of the walls, as well as the hollow space in the middle. If the majority of that is, quote-unquote, cut, then halacha l'maaseh, the animal is a trefa. The other opinion is rove chalala. We do not look at the thickness of the walls. Instead of us say, how do we determine rove? Interestingly enough, the rove of the hollow part, right? The rove of the middle, right? So if the rove ultimately again is cut, then halacha lemaisa, look at Rashi, rove chalala, ena treifa ad sheyifsok rove achalal, v'ove hatunuch eno mashlim the rove. So the Gemara says as follows, hahi psukas gargeres. So listen to this interesting case. Hahi psukas gargeres. So we'll say an interesting case. There was a case of a cut trachea that came before Rav. Yosef v'kabodik leberov uvya. So we'll say, so Rav was checking it, ultimately again, in the majority, rov uvya, which the thickness of the walls. Amru le Rav Kahana v'ravasi the Rav. Limaratan Ravenu berov chalala. So listen to this, so we'll say, so now just to understand the case here. So the animal, the shayla, comes before Rav. Rav is that the animal presents with a cut trachea. Rav is going ahead and what? Rav is going ahead and examining the cut trachea. How is he examining it? He's using what's called the thickness criteria, the rov of your criteria. So what happens? So the students see him. Watch the Rav Kahana Ravasi see him and they say, Rebbe, didn't you teach us that you don't use the uvya criteria? Rather, what do you use? The chalal criteria. So we'll say, so watch this. So apparently, that's where the conversation ends. Shadre the kameh de Rabba Bar Barchana. So they sent the animal to Rabba Bar Barchana. So it sounds like they took the animal away from Rav, and they sent it to Rabba Bar Barchana. What happens? He badka barov chalala. We'll say he goes out and uses the chalal criteria, right? The hollow space criteria. The achshira. And he paskin that the animal is kosher. Not only that, v'zaben minei betleisar istare pshite visra. And I will say, what happened? Ultimately, again, they sold the meat, and he himself bought 13 istarim of meat. Right? 13 istarim. So I will say, so again, to just say follow the progression of the story. Rav is inspecting the animals. Rav inspecting the treifa. Rav begins by using the uvya criteria. Students tell him, Rebbe, didn't you teach us that you use the chalal criteria? They send the animal to Rav Bar Barchana. Rav Bar Barchana checks the animal using the chalal criteria. Paskins that the animal is kosher. Not only is the animal kosher, but what? Right? It's shechted, it's good, and Rav Bar Barchana himself buys 13 istarim worth of meat from the animal. So the Gemara says, what happened over here? Vehechi avitachi. The Gemara says, how was he able to do this? Now we'll say, how was who able to do what? So watch this. That time, we'll say we learned, Chacham, Shetime, in Chavira Shalitar. We'll say, very important halacha. If a Talmud Chacham was Metame something, a fellow rabbinic colleague does not have the right to be Metaher it. As we'll say, if a Rav paskins on something, so another Rav doesn't have the right to go ahead and paskin on that as well. So Aser, so the Gemara says, so Aser in Chaver Rashay Lahatir, if one Talmud Chacham asserts something, his friend does not have the right to go ahead and be matir it. So we'll say, so the question over here is, Rav paskin, that the animal was what? Treif. So how did Rabbi Barachana have the right to paskin that the animal was kosher? Shaini Hacha, the Rav lo aser meser. Rabbi said, remember again, follow the story. And what ended up happening? they pretty much took the animal away from Rav before what? Before Rav had the chance to paskin. So in fact, again, obviously using the criteria that Rav was using, we pretty much knew what the conclusion was going to be, but yet Rav himself never actually paskin on the animal. So the Gemara says, V'cheven de'ori b'chacham, heicha achnei Rav said, this by the way, it's great Gemara. So one second, fine. So now we understand, Rav Abrachan did not go ahead and step on someone's feet. Right? He did not go ahead and paskin against the Psak Halacha of Rav. But I have a different question. After Rav Barachana paskined on the animal, how was he permitted to purchase of its meat? After all, Bahaksiv, so let's listen to this. This is actually, we just learned this a few days ago. The Gemara will be recording the pasuk from Yechezkel. What does Yechezkel say to God? He says, Yom Shalom Ba'omer, Aha Hashem Elokim, behold my God, Hime Nafshi Lomituma, I never allowed myself to become defiled. Unavelu Trefa Lo Achalti Minu Arai Va'ad Ata. I never ate of an avela and the trefa from my youth until now. And I never ate any meat that was pigul. Remember, Yecheskel was a kohen. So we'll say, so remember again, so this is what Yecheskel says. So remember again, we asked, Yecheskel is saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono Shel Olam, I've always been a good guy. Right? Look at the rayas. I never went ahead and became tamei. I never ate of an avela or a trefa. So I say, obviously the pasuk must mean something else. Because for the Navi Yisrael to say, God, look at me. I never had a happy meal, right? I'm amish. Like, you know, like I never went to the drive-thru. I never ate an avela and trefa. Okay, shkoyach. That's what you got? Right? I mean, that's the best. So we'll say, obviously Yecheskel must be saying something additional. So we'll say, to which the Gemara now dissects the pasuk. Hine nafshi lo mituma. What does that mean? Behold, my soul never became defiled. Shlo hir harti bayom lavu lidei tuma balayla. I never had impure or illicit thoughts by day, which would lead to a seminal emission at night. And Abbas, I never went ahead and ate of a nevela or a trefa. What does that mean? Shlo achalti basar kos me'olam. Abbas, remember we spoke about this. I never ate, essentially, of the meat of a misukenes. Remember again, a misukenes is an animal that's about to die, or going to die shortly. So conventional wisdom says, shecht it now, so that you can eat it. It becomes a kosher animal before it dies. So Yecheskel, I never ate an animal like that. I never ate an animal where people say kos. Kos means shechti, quickly, before the animal dies. I never ate of an animal like that. V'lo ba b'fi baser pigel. And ultimately, again, I never ate pigel. What does that mean? Shelo achalti. Now I will say, remember again, Yecheskel was a kohen. So the fact that he never ate pigel, that's very nice. A lot of Kohanim don't eat pigle. Baruch Hashem, no Kohanim eat pigle. So what does that mean? Shelo achalti mibehema shahora b'chacham. Cheskel says, I never ate of an animal that needed clarification of psak halacha bayitam tchach. In other words, if there was a shayla in it, I wouldn't eat it. Mishra minasan amar, shelo achalti mibehema shelo harmu matnosel. So what's the kind of Rabbi Nosson? It means that as a kohen, Rabbi say, the halacha is a kohen is permitted to eat of an animal before the kohanic portions are separated. Yecheskel was saying, I never eat before its kohanic portions are separated. So we'll say, remember again, for our purposes, what is the Gemara asking? Rav Abrachano, you went ahead and you got an animal over here. You get an animal, you paskined on the animal, right? It had a potential trefa situation. You paskined on the animal, and what? And then after you declared it kosher, you actually purchased some of its meat. But isn't there an inyan for an adam gadol, for important people, to stay away from things which are even questionable? Yecheskel himself says, if there was a shayla about it, I didn't eat it. If there was a shayla about it, I didn't partake of it. So Rabbi Rachana, would you not hold yourself to that same standard? So how could he have eaten from the meat afterwards? To which the Gemara says, no. Hani mili milsa detalya bisvara. It will say, when Yecheskel said that I would not eat of something that required the psak halacha of a tamid chacham, I will say that is where, again, the psak halacha required the application of svara, of logic. Rav Abrachana agmore samich. I will say, in Rav Abrachana, this is actually a very clear-cut halacha. This is a clear-cut halacha. He had a mesorah for this, that this type of cut trachea was 1,000% kosher. See, I will say, what Yecheskel was saying was, I never went ahead and ate of something that required some type of svara to be matirit. If it required a svara, it's okay, I'll eat something else. But we'll say sometimes there's a shaila about something, but it's a simple yes or no. It's not a svara. Nobody has to declare the kasha, right? It doesn't require deep thought. It's just a matter of information. In this case, we'll say the animal was 1,000% kosher. Rabbi Bechana did not need to think about this or to analyze this or to bring in this sugya, to bring in that sugya. The trachea wasn't cut enough to render the animal trefa. That's just the application of straightforward halacha, and therefore Rabbi Bechana felt the animal was totally fine. Take a look at Rashi, the Talia of the Svara, the Hasav Ikal Sapuki Dilma Lo Havisara Me'alya. Because I will say, sometimes if the Psak halacha requires Svara of the Talmud Chacham could be wrong. So Yecheskel said, I never wanted to chance it. However, V'hacha Rabba Agimare Samach. Rabba was simply relying on the tradition, on the Mesorah of his Rebbeim. Good, fine. So we'll say there's another problem. This is actually amazing.
Amen.
This is great. Wow. Isn't there an issue, Rabbi Osei? Rabbi Rachano, you just paskin that the animal is kosher. And what did you do after the animal was kosher? You bought the meat. Doesn't that schmeck the wrong way? You know, right? Does that look right? Does that look right? Doesn't it look like you're benefiting directly from your psak halacha? The sefer chalim mishum chashada. Rashi says mishum chashada. The lo lemru. People should not say mishum deshar yonehele mozel gabe v'nira kinota schal aschar al hara asa. We'll say, doesn't it look strange? Right, the butcher brings his animal in front of you. Is it a treif or not? We'll say, now understand, you know, again, for a butcher, you're shechting an ox. The Rav tells you that it's treif. We'll say, that's a pretty significant loss. A pretty significant loss. So what happens now? Rabbi Bechana tells the butcher the animal's kosher, and then a couple of steaks wouldn't hurt, right? You go ahead, you shove, and then Rabbi Bechana goes and gets... Now, true, he's... Now, to be clear, what is Rabbi Bechana doing? What is he doing? He's paying for it. But still, maybe it looks like he's still getting it at a discount. So the Gemara is saying, now again, to be clear, let's be... The Gemara is not chas v'shalom questioning that Rabbi Bechana did something wrong. What the Gemara is questioning over here is the appearance, the optics of it, right? It just doesn't look right. After all, we see this. The Sanabos is amazing. Donas hadin, v'zika, v'chiv, timei, v'tiher, aser, v'hitter. So we'll say, if a dayan paskined on a case. And what happened? Whether he paskin zakai, chayiv, tamei, tar, aser, mutter, v'china, idun, she'idu, kulon, rasho'in, likach. So we'll say, it's actually very interesting. So let's say again a dayan goes ahead, and as a Jude, Reuven and Shimon have a dispute about a watch. And the dayan goes ahead and paskins about it, okay? And he paskins that it belongs to Reuven. So we'll say, and then the next day he says, you know what, I happen to be in the market for a watch, Reuven. I'd like to buy that from Reuven. He buys it from Reuven. Or the witnesses who testify that it belongs to Reuven, the next day want to buy it from Reuven. So he wants to, on a technical level, it's fine. In other words, a dayan is not precluded, or witnesses are not precluded from buying the object which they paskin on. However, ava amru chachamim, harchek min hakir, but the rabbi said, don't do it. Don't do it. Even though technically speaking, you are allowed to do it, but ultimately what? Distance yourself minakir from things that look bad. Distance yourself from things that look bad, umin hadomelo, and from things which resemble that. So we'll say, it's actually an incredible idea. Saloch lamaisa, even if something is permitted, we'll say, now what's interesting about this is as follows. You see, you would have thought that this is a halacha by a Rav, by a Dayan, but you see that it applies to the Chachamim also. In other words, we'll say, to the Eidim as well, to the witnesses. So you see what Chazal is saying is, to whatever degree in life, stay away from things that look like that you are doing, manipulating circumstances to your own advantage. Try to always be beyond reproach in your conduct. If that's the case, Rabbi Rachana, it just doesn't look right that you're purchasing the meat. You're purchasing the meat after you paskin on the animal. To which the Gemara says, we'll say something amazing. Hani mili, midi demazbin mishuma. And we'll say, when is that so? That's true with something that is sold based on evaluation. Hacha mitikla muchach. So we'll say, the Gemara says, there's no problem here. Why? We'll say, how is meat sold? How is meat sold? By the price per pound. Things aren't different. So Rabbi Rechana says, look, I'll show you what I paid per pound. So Yerbo say, the issue of a concern that there may be reciprocity for paskening, quote unquote, the right way, is when an item doesn't have a fixed price, when an item has some type of fluid valuation. Then there's a concern that if I paskin that the item was permitted, and then I buy it, and the price is not fixed, then there's a concern that it doesn't look right. But I will say, but for fixed price items, and it's that's why the Gemara says, Rabbi Rachana brought what? He bought meat worth 13 isarim. 13 isarim. So Rabbi Rachana says, I just paid the price per pound. Right? I didn't get any discount of it. And you could check that. So I will say, so interestingly enough, where ultimately, again, the transaction kind of stands, bless you, stands on its own. And it could be independently corroborated as just a regular everyday transaction. It is not a problem even for the person who paskin on the animal to partake of it. Ki ha di rabba shara trefta. Right? Rabba, for example, permitted a certain trefa animal. There was an animal that came before Rabba. And there was a shiloh whether or not it was a trefa. Rabba paskin that it wasn't a trefa. Vizabin mine bisra. And ultimately, again, he bought meat from it. After he paskined about it, he bought some pieces of meat from that very animal. Amra le bas Rav Chista. So let's listen to this. Rav Chista's daughter said to Rabba, she said, you know, Abba shari buchra, below Zabin Mine Bisra, my father Rav Chista was a Kohen. He used to paskin on blemished Bukhar animals. So we'll say blemished Bukhar animal, right? It's just consumed by the Kohen. So we'll say, so what's that? So my father used to go out and paskin on blemished Bukhar animals. And what? And yet he would never eat of the meat. He would never eat of the meat. So she was kind of giving Rabba a little bit of veiled mussar. Rashi says, Shari Bukhra, Kishahaya Kohen may be the fun of Bukhar Liros Mumo by Matiro, Lahaya Likwa Lokeh Mena Basra Osa Bukhar. So I say, so ultimately he responds to Amrale, Hani Mili Bukhra, Dashuma Mizdabin, Hacha Miskala Mucha. So I say, listen to this. So he said to her, I'll tell you this difference. The difference is, we'll say, a Bukhar animal, interestingly enough, you're not permitted to weigh the meat of a Bukhar animal. Why can't you weigh it? Because that animal still has sacred status, it's considered to be disparaging to place that animal on a scale, even the meat on the scale. So we'll say, how would you deal with Bukhar animal meat? By valuation. So, when it comes to valuation, I will say that's the concern that if you paskind on it, you may even inadvertently benefit from your psak halacha. So that's why your father never partaken of the bukhar animal. But me, I'm just buying meat at the regular per pound price. Therefore, it's not a problem. So my ika. So what are the problem could there possibly be with Rabbi Rachana eating from the meat? Mishum umtsa ma'al yasa. I will say, maybe there's another concern. Maybe even though Rabbi Rachana is paying the regular price per pound, maybe the butcher is what? Going to give him the nicest cut of meat as, thanks for paskening. Right, great job there, Rabbi. Right, thanks, here's a little extra something for you. Right, so he's going to give him the nicest cut of meat. So we'll say, listen to this. So Rabbi Rachana says, that's not a problem because kol yoma umtsam ma'al yasa zabnuli. You're always going to give the rabbi the nicest piece of meat. Yeah. What's the shayla? What's the shayla? It goes without saying, I will say. That's ma'isim b'chol yom. Of course you're going to get and give him. So, what Rabbi Rachana was saying is, anyway, come on. Anyway, when I come to the butcher always gives me the grade A stuff. In other words, that's ma'isim b'chol yom. That's that. And I will say, now again, that may raise other issues ultimately again in his ability to paskin for the butcher, which is something else. But Lamais again, he's saying the fact that he's going to give me a nicer cut of meat, I'm still paying for it, but the fact that he's going to give me a nicer, that anyway was there. We'll say, underline that piece. Underline that line. It's good to keep that in your file. I'm Rav Chista. So I'll say, now based on this, the Gemara goes a little bit weiter. So I'll say, that's kind of how that story ends. But the Gemara will say now is actually quite a beautiful sugya. The Gemara is kind of using this as a springboard. Now that what we see is this concept that especially for a Talmud Chacham, there is this idea of being beyond reproach. So there's Amar Chista Izu Talmud Chacham. We'll say, what's the definition of a Talmud Chacham? Ze haroa trefa liatzmo. So we'll say, it's actually quite amazing. Look at Rashi. Ze haroa trefa liatzmo. We'll say, it's the last of the intermediate wide lines. Zero trefa latzmo kishenolat suffik trefas bebehemto. So we'll say this. So what's a Talmud Chacham? Someone in his own animal, he sees trefa, right? What he sees over Rebosa is a suffik trefas. There is a problem. Venira bo tamla is serve tamla heter ve'enu chasala va ostra. So we'll say what's a Talmud Chacham? Talmud Chacham is someone who sees a safek in his animal. Then I will say, now what happens? So he can be very creative and what? And be matirit. Or he could be a bit more genuine and aser it. So I will say, because it's just not the kind of thing that he can be eating. So ultimately, anyone who has that level of self-restraint, right? Anyone who has that level of self-control, and even though he has grounds to be matirit, finds the strength to say, you know what? It's just not right, and especially again that my vision and my judgment may be a bit impaired because it's my own animal. Says the Gemara, that's a Talmud Chacham. I'll just tell you, al derech hadrush. There's a beautiful message in this also. Rav Chis, right? The Gemara is saying, "Ezu Talmud Chacham." Rabbosai, who is your Talmud Chacham? Haroe trefa liatzmo. See, Rabbosai, all of us have simani trefas, right? We all do. That's just the nature of the human condition, right? We all have flaws. We all have shortcomings. We all have simani trefas in ourselves. And I will say, but often again, although we're very acute or we're very adept at often seeing the simani trefas of others, we often do not see our own. And I will say, when you don't see your own simani trefas, that's when you make the greatest mistakes in life. Says the Gemara, you want to be a great Talmud Chacham, start worry less about seeing the simani trefas in others, and worry a bit more about haroe trefa liatzmo. See the shortcomings in yourself, the misdeeds within yourself, because once you see them, that's the first step, ultimately, again, in fixing them. All right, so we'll have to stop over here. We'll let me ask you to pick up with the rest of this Gemara tomorrow.